This is John Batchelor. What follows is the report from Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, on the 16th of October. Malcolm is learning more about what he saw on the 9th of October when he traveled at the request and help of the IDF to the kibbutzes that had been attacked by the Hamas killers. Malcolm is now learning more about what he saw that day, especially applying it to what was known then on the 16th of the abducted, people who had been taken prisoner and taken back into Gaza. Malcolm uses the number 199. We now believe it's more than that. But in any event, he identifies what we knew on the 16th as the plan by Hamas to attack high schools, to attack everyone and take as many hostages as possible, several hundred. The plan also was to humiliate, torture, abuse the people, the civilians of the kibbutzes. Malcolm explicates that at length on the 16th. It's important to remember that what we have here is an ongoing information space battle about what Hamas, as ISIS, as Al-Qaeda, as worse, did that day, and what some voices are saying it didn't do or doesn't represent. This is Malcolm very clear on the 16th, early reporting. There will be more in the future, but it will explicate what you're hearing here generally from Malcolm, along with my colleague Thaddeus McCutter of American Greatness. Here's Malcolm Honlein. This is dated October 16th, 2023.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Thaddeus McCutter, American Greatness, joins me as my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. A week past, Malcolm was in Israel and was one of the few in the initial hours to visit the site of the massacres. Now, a week later, there are headlines that point to the complications of containing the Hamas gangsters. The Washington Post: standoff at Egyptian border blocks aid passage as conditions in Gaza worsen. The New York Times: as conditions in Gaza worsen, President Biden weighs a visit to Israel. Subhead: Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu invitation creates a dilemma for President Biden as Gaza falls into a desperate humanitarian crisis. A very good evening to you, gentlemen. Thaddeus, you have a question for Malcolm.
Yes, Malcolm, I have two questions, actually. First, regards the hostages, which is of crucial importance, especially to Americans here, with some of them being taken, and as well, what is also the situation with Gaza. But first, the hostages.
Right, which is one of the most tragic aspects of a very horrific chapter that is not understood yet and may never be understood fully. And as I tried to convey in my description of what I saw when I went south, and I was the only civilian there. There were people there collecting bodies. There were people who were still searching through the houses because the terrorists hid out, and some of them remained. They caught one, actually, while I was down there. And to see the house-to-house horror and terror and how what they did to bodies, the mutilations, the killing of babies, and people are denying now the stories and trying to say that there was a denial. The only correction was they didn't behead all 40 children. They beheaded some of them, but they murdered all of them. They mutilated most of them, burnt some of them. So, you know, a lot of the people are trying to distort the reality of what occurred on the ground. And because there was this influx of thousands of fighters, you know, well-coordinated effort that overwhelmed the various communities who were sleeping because it was a Saturday morning, a holiday, actually a Jewish holiday morning. So people at 6:30 in the morning were in their beds, in their homes, and many of them died right there. They shot in indiscriminately into cars, into homes, into institutions. We found out later that the goal was to take hundreds and hundreds of hostages, to kill as many as possible, rape as many as possible, and torture. Those were specific written instructions given to the soldiers and to take hostages. They were, main target was high schools, but because it was a Saturday and a holiday, the high schools were not open, were not functioning, and so they couldn't go there, but they had alternative designations, the synagogue, homes. They had detailed maps of every location telling them what streets to go down and how to attack and be able to kill the maximum number and not allow people to escape. And in the process, they took what we now know to be 199 hostages, amongst them a group of Americans, as well as people from, I think, 15 other countries who have dual citizenship or were citizens like Thai citizens who were working in these communities. People from Gaza worked there, and that's how they were able to get a lot of the detailed information. And the hostages were taken back, often paraded, often women stripped and shown in terrible things and their families, by the way, they took their cell phones and called the families to tell them what they were doing to their children and to the hostages. And they were taken back into Gaza, some dead, some alive, most alive. And there, a 2.5-year-old child is amongst the hostages, a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, many children amongst them. And unlike the Nazis who try to cover up their crimes, these guys advertise them and are proud and pronounce them and take credit for the hostages who are now underground, probably with them in the tunnel, the myriad of tunnels that they have underground in Gaza. And when people talk about the humanitarian conditions, there's a way to quickly resolve it. They blame Israel for there not being water. Israel only provides about 10% of the water that Gaza gets. Also, why there's no food, why there isn't some of the other electricity and other things that Israel provides, it's because the billions of dollars that were given to Gaza were not used for these purposes. They dug up the water pipes and used them for the rockets that they were firing at Israel. And they made videos of it. So it's not something that Israeli are telling us. It's what they themselves admitted and acknowledged to. So there's a great deal of concern about the plight of these people, the past record of inhumanity and barbaric treatment of hostages is believed to concerns everyone. There was a story of a father, an immigrant from Ireland, who lived in one of those communities, who clapped when he learned that his 8-year-old daughter was found dead, because it was a relief that she was not in the hands of these barbarians and what they might have done to her, that he felt a sense of relief. Obviously, he cried on the news as well. So the hostage story is ongoing, and hopefully the pressure from the international community will see their release and they come back to their families. In Gaza, the overall situation, people have moved to the south at Israel's suggestion, urging. Hamas try to block them. Despite that, a million people moved south, which shows that the people are not listening to their Hamas leaders right now. They are, I'm sure, distraught about what has happened as a result of the assault, which was kept under wraps. Only a few people knew when the raid was going to take place. They had done training exercises, but were never told until that morning, in many cases, where they would go, what they were doing, and when they were to cross the border, which was, as I said, at 6:30 in that holiday morning. They cut through the security fence. They broke through. They attacked a military base where people were sleeping. And this took a tank and took other equipment, but killed all the soldiers inside, and then went village to village. The one I visited, 1,000 people, they've already found a couple hundred bodies, many missing still. But every house, you can see the blood stains. They attacked the bullet holes. And so this went on for hours, the rampage. And they drove up the streets of the highway and just shot people. They intended to go up to Ashdod, which, John, you will remember, a 15-mile or 30 miles even into Israel, but they were not able to as the response mounted.
Malcolm, right now the IDF is arrayed around the perimeter of Gaza. We're told by repeated headlines over these last days there will be an air, sea, and land assault. The emphasis is on humanitarian crisis. 1 million have evacuated. The UN is involved in pleading, mentioning, remarking. Is there any arbitration now underway, to your knowledge, about the remaining civilians? Any talking to Hamas about permitting everyone to get out who's not a combatant?
There have been proposals to that end. The Hamas is not willing to let that happen because then it would expose them. And they will, of course, get out. Their leadership is, by the way, in Qatar. They're not in the top leadership is not there. They are luxuriating in the hotels in Qatar and not on the battlefront. Many of the top commanders have been eliminated. Israel has no interest in and goes to great lengths, despite what the reports would indicate. But the true reports that have come out show how far they go not to have civilian casualties, how they give advance warning when a building is to come down where Hamas has its installations. And often they are in residential buildings. And you know that they use schools and others as front and keep civilians as hostages and as cover for they can fire because they know Israel is reluctant to fire back where civilians are involved. So they are not going to be willing to do anything that will relieve the pressure and expose them more. There are various proposals. They're opening up the crossing to Egypt, which would enable, first of all, the foreigners, people who have joint citizenship with another country or citizens of another country to leave. And I think that's a couple thousand. And then whether they would allow others to go out is and to let goods in. Will be determined now. Israel has opened up the water supply, but the reason why you don't have water and why you don't have is that the billions of dollars given to them for construction of facilities, including electrical and others, is that they use that concrete for tunnels.
So right
for
now,
these terrorist tunnels.
Right now, Malcolm, your understanding is the Rafah crossing is not open into Sinai and Egypt is refusing to open. Or is
no,
talking
yeah,
about
well,
open.
Egypt is making it conditional. Egypt does not want an influx of a large number of people into Sinai and have another ISIS group there because, you know, the terrorists will hide amongst the people
and come out. Yes.
So they will. I think there will be an understanding. I know there were negotiations going on. The last report I got a while ago, there was an expectation that that would be open and that goods, trucks had been lined up there to bring food and medicines and other things into Gaza. Israel doesn't want to punish all the people, but you know these people voted Hamas in, and they're not innocent bystanders in this case, but Israel wants to get at the infrastructure of terror and the leaders.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organization, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. When we come back, the question of Iran. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.